is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Jesus Came from Galilee, Land of the Gentiles. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Tennessee Ernie Ford with What a Friend We Have in Jesus. After which, we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. A friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord. Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take
take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Well, today we're going to, we've just got a great program today, folks. When you hear the things that you're going to hear today, you could just jump up and shout. These things have, they're in the Bible. They've been told before, but somehow I even missed some of these things. I really did. I'm sorry. I'm guilty. I just had not, these things had not registered in my mind, but I read them now and I go, man, wow. Was Jesus really, was he what the Bible says he was? Can this be true? Do I have this great heritage? Did you know, dear friends, that if you belong to Jesus, you were chosen before the foundation of the world? You say, well, no, nobody knew me before, my mom and dad had relations and I came out of the womb and you were not even thought. Well, wait just a minute. God knew you and he knew all about, he knew your whole history, where you began and where you're going. And right now, wherever you're at in life, whether you're 21 years old or 91 years old, he knows everything about you, everything you've done, who you are, and he knows where you're going, what you're going to be. Isn't that astonishing? I've always looked at it, there's an old country song by John Anderson about being an old chunk of coal. You ever heard that song, folks? He says, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. I'm going to shine and shine someday. I like to think I'm that way too. I'm like an old chunk of coal, but someday I'm going to be a diamond. Someday I'm going to be pretty perfect. boy. And that's your story too. The Bible also says in the book of Revelation that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring back with him to heaven. He's going to bring us back to heaven with him. And that we will not have spot or wrinkle. If you've got a spot or a wrinkle, he's going to leave you here on earth. And then the tribulation is going to take care of you. I'm sorry about that. I really am. I don't want that to happen to you. In fact, the Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. He would prefer that all receive salvation. But unfortunately, some are not, most are just not going to make it to heaven. They're just going to reject Jesus. They're going to, I see it every day in the newspapers. Things are getting worse and worse. I read a quote by Judge Thomas, Clarence Thomas of the Supreme Court. He said, the world is becoming a madhouse. The world is becoming a madhouse. Think about all of these crimes and all these things going on every day. I read sort of a funny thing just yesterday in the newspaper. It seemed that man and woman got married. So much trouble to be married, to ask a woman and she has to say yes, and you go through the engagement and you buy rings and she buys a gown, and then you get the chapel of the church and all these people come, and the mom and dad cry, the mom cries a little bit, and the bride cries, and it's such an auspicious occasion, isn't it? But according to this story, they got married and they went off to their bridal honeymoon. I guess you try to get the best hotel suite you can and all that kind of thing. And it said the marriage only lasted a couple of hours, though. The guy left the hotel room in disgust and got it and went out and got a divorce. They were only married a couple hours. Now, what happened? What happened in that room? Well, according to this news report, nothing happened. He said she was so busy texting all of her friends. She didn't have any, she didn't want a romance. She didn't want to kiss him. She said, just a minute. I'm busy right now. She was on her iPhone. For hours, she was on her iPhone. So, he warned her. Then finally just got his coat and left. You know, I was in a marriage once. It was about the same way. During the reception, what a glorious time that's supposed to be in the reception hall and have cake and, you know, punch or whatever. Well, the husband and wife, they just, you know, taken their vows. They're going to stay together until death do them part. But they got to the reception and they started having some bad words toward each other. Then she just took the cake and threw it on him. And he stomped out and she stomped out. And they same thing happened. They broke up. Didn't get out of the reception hall. Well, listen, if you come to know Jesus Christ, it will have been by plan. From the very beginning, he knows you, knows what kind of person you're going to be. He knows you're fit. You don't have spot or wrinkle. And he's done it all. I mean, he's taking you to the cleaners, my friend. He's taking you to the laundry. And that old stain there, he's taking that out. And it'll be ripped place. He fixed that and can't even see, you know, where it was ripped now. There's not a spot. There's not a wrinkle. And he's done it all in his holy laundry. And then you're going right on to glory. A lot of people tell me, you know, I don't know if I deserve heaven because I have spot or wrinkle in my life. Well, yeah, you but Jesus doesn't even see it. He's going to iron right over it. Going to clean it right off and iron over it. He's going to take care of it. Oh, people worry so much, don't they? All you have to do is keep your eye on Jesus. Just keep your eye on Christ. Well, I want to talk to you today about a very strange subject. Did you know that Galilee was a Gentile place? And that's where Jesus came from. He came from Galilee, didn't he? Nazareth, a little town in Galilee, which was like a province of Israel. Sort of like coming from Ohio, which is a province of the United States. But when you're asked where you come from, you usually probably say, oh, Oklahoma or Texas, or I'm from New York, or you might tell, oh, I'm from Chicago, or you might say, I'm from the United States. Well, we know that Jesus came from Galilee, came from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, which was in Israel, but it was almost like its own country, folks. You know, I've seen these billboards here in Texas, pepping for Texas, talking about come visit Texas. It says, Texas, it's like it's almost another country. That's what the billboards say. Like another country. When you visit Texas, you're not visiting the United States. You're like in another country. Well, a lot of Texans think that's true. Get a lot of complaints from people in neighboring states like Oklahoma and New Mexico. Oh, you Texans, y'all have big egos. You think you're the only state. You know, you're so special. Well, that's true. We sort of do. Right now, I understand that some of the legislature are considering maybe seceding. Seceding. Well, Texas once was its own country. It was all, I guess a lot of folks, you know, seeing how America's going to pot and just going, goodness gracious, getting dilapidated, changing things. People are now saying, I want to go back to being my own country here in Texas. I can't blame them. That's why Donald Trump's so successful. He says, well, make America great again. Nobody's out there denying that America's, you know, was once great. But we don't see it that way now with Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and Barack Obama. My goodness gracious. And oh, now, Jesus came from the little town of Nazareth. You would have thought, I mean, the Messiah would come from Jerusalem, the holy city, where they have the huge temple. I mean, the temple is so magnificent and people would marvel. at its features. They would say, wow, it took many, many years to build this great edifice. And yet, Jesus said, every stone will soon be thrown down. There won't even be one stone left on another. Now listen, folks, that was a big construction project. I don't know whether you like Donald Trump or not, and he's built a lot of things, but he probably would have liked to have gotten the contract on the temple to build it. Because it was a huge temple. The temple of Herod was incredible. Yet Jesus said, do you see this temple? Do you think it's magnificent? Well, it's going to be thrown down, stone by stone, and nothing's going to be left. In fact, that's one of the things he was accused of at his trial. They said, he's threatened to tear down the temple. They thought Jesus was going to go out and get hundreds and hundreds of revolutionaries. He was going to cause a great revolution. And they were going to tear down the temple. It had probably taken a couple of years just to tear it down. Took so long to build it. But, you know, evidently God was not interested in that temple. Now think about that. He was not interested in that temple. You say, oh yes, it's the holy temple. Of course, God was interested. I mean, that's the only thing that matters is the temple. Oh, really? Are you sure? You better read in the Bible about that. Well, we're told in the New Testament that God is going to tear it down. And it says that he doesn't live in a temple. He will not live ever again in a temple built by human hands. It's not good enough for him. He just built that so he could, you know, have the Ark of the Covenant. He could come in there and at a certain time the priest would. I mean, sure, he was there for a while. Just to please us, I suppose. But he's got a greater temple up in heaven. Oh, and it's not built with human hands. Why, that would desecrate it. And he doesn't care about any holy city. Did you know that even the Old Testament prophets did not look toward a holy city named Jerusalem in Israel? And they did not look toward a temple? They wanted a new Jerusalem from heaven. That's what they were excited about, the new Jerusalem in heaven. And there they would come to find God's temple that wasn't even built by human hands. Some miracle of God built it. Oh my, what a fantastic place that is. So what about Israel and Jerusalem and all these places? The Jews still say, they have an old saying, you know, about their temple. They say, next year, Jerusalem. Okay, they've been in the diaspora. They've been cast out for so long, and now they're back again, of course. And they don't have the temple, but they're planning on building the new temple. And they have the Wailing Wall that they claim is a little piece of the old temple that's left. And they go there and pray and all, or wail as they call it, wail back and forth. But next New Year's, we're gonna be at the temple. A rebuilt temple. It's next year. Yes, sure. Next year. Meanwhile, God's already got his temple. You want to see it? Well, you have to pass away to this earth to see it. And then only the privilege, only the few, only the ones without spot or wrinkle are going to see the temple. Oh, that's a magnificent place. Now, but let's get back to Gentile. I'm sorry, I get so excited in the subject. I get off on, you know, on a tangent. But let's talk about Galilee. Now, in Isaiah, let's see, I want to make sure exactly it's in Isaiah. Here we go. Isaiah 9, verse 1, talks about Galilee. It says, Galilee of the Gentiles is a term it uses. Whoa, just a minute. Whoa, wasn't Jesus a Jew? Didn't he come from the Jewish country of Israel? Whoa, what, Galilee? Obviously, he planned to be born right there, and that would be his hometown, I should say. Nazareth, a little town in Galilee. But Galilee was of the Gentiles. And that's where Jesus and the Father chose that the very Son of God would come. That's where he practiced as a carpenter and learned a vocation. That's where his father, I mean, his
you know, his father that was appointed to him, let's just say, and Mary, his mother, earthly mother. It's where they were, and his brothers and sisters. They were in Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, it seems like God was sort of, cutting down the Jews, wasn't he? He chose for his son to be, he didn't want his son to be born in Jerusalem. And when Jesus died, do you know that he took him outside the city of Jerusalem? He died on a hill named Golgotha, meaning the skull. Yeah, literally, must have been a terrible, atrocious place, very desolate. And there he died on a cross, and on either side of him were just bad men, thieves and such. That was when people looked up to the cross, to Golgotha, the skull, they call it. When they looked up to that hill up there, outside the city, they thought bad thoughts always. It's the bad men up there. They deserve to be up there. They've done terrible things. Murders, robberies, thefts, rapes, whatever. And then there was Jesus. Why? Why, even the Roman governor said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. Do what you want. Go take him and kill him. But as for me, I'm not going to be guilty. I'm not responsible. But see, we're all responsible, my friends. You can't wash it off your hands. He couldn't do that. I suspect it bothered his conscience that he had allowed them to do that. But then, of course, they bribed him. They said, you know, if you don't ordain that Jesus be killed, we're going to get the word to Caesar that, you know, you're a betrayer. This man here wants to take down the temple and destroy it, and he wants a revolution, and you're going to let him live? Oh, you're not even a good governor. You're a bad governor. We're gonna get you thrown out. Caesar's gonna be very angry at you. That's the only way they could get him. He had all that power, but he didn't want to be reported to Caesar as being unfaithful. Well, okay, he finally said. Well, but why did Jesus need to go outside the city? The fact is, the Bible says that no prophet, no true prophet, can be crucified inside the gates of the city. Think about that. That's why. And so Jesus determined where he would go. They didn't make him go there. Of course, they made him carry a cross and took him up there. But he knew where he was going. He chose his path. And he knew what would be the end result for the Jews. They were really going to suffer a great penalty for killing the Son of God.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.